Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and you are listening to This Life
with Bob Forrest
and Dr. Drew.
Here we are.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gather around for another episode of This Life with Dr. Drew and Bob.
Welcome, sir. How are you?
I'm good.
We're going to talk about your new teeth today.
Yes, we are going to.
We are. We are.
It's amazing.
But not only are we going to talk to the dentist that did this to you, we've got a whole bunch of other material.
Well, we're going to talk about ketamine drips, CBD oil, mythology about dentistry.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
All in one action-packed hour podcast.
Shame. It's important.
Shame and guilt are your and I's cornerstones.
So Jeff Flores is a dentist. We're going to discuss. We're going to introduce him in a few minutes. He is at the Rancho Dental Studio. But first,
that's his. He is an artist.
All right,
friend.
We'll get to it. He's been very enthusiastic about you, Jeff Flores. But first, I want to bring in. In fact, maybe you can help me out a little bit. But I first want to welcome Marvin Washington. Marvin is a retired NFL player. Played 11 years, three teams, the Jets, Broncos. Yeah, 49ers.
John Elway.
Sports Illustrated voted Marvin the 36th best New York Jet of all time.
Who was number one? Joe Namath, of course, right?
Of course.
I don't know. That's too just so. It's too easy. He had a lucky day in that Super Bowl III or whatever it was.
Oh.
That's all you need.
That's all you need.
That's right. So since you retired, well, first of all, Marvin, you can tell us about what you're doing and what you're up to these days.
Right now, I'm in the cannabis hemp industry, educating my former peers and the public about the medicinal benefits of this plant, particularly with CBD, which is where I am with a few companies that I'm with.
Well, I want to interrupt you. Am I right that some of this interest grew out of your passion for health and wellness of NFL players?
Of the concussions and the dementia,
well,
I would imagine.
Well, I'm wondering.
Right?
Well, there's two issues that are facing the NFL and former players. It's head trauma, which is CTE, and it's also opiate addiction of their former players.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You know, in a former NFL players, and there's 20,000 of us, abuse opiates four times more than general society. So we can kind of see where we are with that with former players. And then you throw in the head issues, you know, it seems like cannabis and the science behind it could help alleviate both of those issues for the NFL.
Right.
So
what years did you start playing? What was your first year in that rookie year? What year?
1989.
Okay. So
and my last year was 2000.
Okay. So you're a little bit later, but Drew and I, for some reason, we had the NFL contract for a little while, and we were dealing with players from the 70s. Who literally would tell us, particularly Cowboys, we had two Dallas Cowboy clients, who would tell us at halftime they would shoot him up with Demerol, duct tape him up, and tell him to go back out there.
Well, also xylocaine and steroids. Yeah, I mean, corticosteroids.
And just taking Vicodin by the handfuls by the side of the on the sidelines. Was that going on when you got to the NFL still?
Taking Vicodin on the sideline
and
getting shot up. Yeah, of course, but not to that extent. You know, those former Cowboy players, that's North Dallas 40, and they were kind of wild. But by the time I got in, you know, opiates were and it still are part of the NFL. You know, and I'm not – let me say this. I'm not against opiates. If I break my leg
or
break my fingers or anything like that, yeah, I'm going to want an opiate. But I also want now – that NFL players have an alternative, something that's non-toxic, non-addictive, and it's natural.
Well, so what Bob and I are worried about is the opiates use in chronic pain, not in acute pain. Like you say, in acute pain, if you needed a surgery, of course you'd get your opiates because that's where it works. But if you start taking it regularly, it starts intensifying pain,
creating
disability, high risk for overdose, et cetera, sleep disturbances. And there – there was – now, the in 2017, the NIH put out a huge in circular about the current state of research on cannabis, which was pretty weak. We didn't have a lot of research when that – you know, the research is all ongoing presently, and there's a lot of really good preliminary studies coming out. And one of them that they're thinking could be useful is CBD or THC in terms of reducing opioids in chronic pain. Is that one of the things you're advocating for?
I'm definitely advocating for that because I've seen the damage that opiate addiction can do.
Yeah.
And I've seen guys from, you know, my former peers and players to ex-military and veterans that I'm working with that have left the opiates and got on cannabis and they've gotten their lives back. You know, right. People that want to still hang on to the negative stereotypes and connotations want to say cannabis is a gateway drug. Well, I agree with them, but it's a gateway away from opiates, a gateway away from, you know, all the mood and behavior disorders that come from, you know, opiate addiction and even the closed head injury.
And one of the things
I'm all for that.
One of the things that mystifies me, you know how I am. My feeling like if we're going to do harm avoidance therapy or medicated assistant therapy
reduction,
for opiate addiction, harm reduction therapies, why don't we, you know, why does it have to be buprenorphine only? Why not naltrexone? Why not heroin? Why not cannabis? If these are replacements that restore people to their lives and prevent them from dying, why do we only use one? Why only Suboxone?
Because opioids are debilitating. They're debilitating on your spirit, on your state of mind, on your.
You're making my case for me.
No, but they never use replacement therapies of other drugs like pot because they had demonized pot for multi generations.
But the point is, if something helps somebody get away from opiates or off opiates. And they would like medication-assisted treatment, then it's working for them, and it's carefully managed. For God's sakes, I mean, we're weird if we think there's only one thing that can do that. But let me ask this, Marvin. I feel like you're talking a bit about CBDs. I'm getting confused. Do you use CBDs for opiate addiction too?
Of course.
Yeah.
Non-psychoactive
what do you mean
and
by
psychoactive.
That? What do you mean by
meaning
that?
Meaning with THC and without. Because there's this new thing for dementia that my friend's dad was on that doesn't have the
Well, here's the thing about
THC.
CBD. CBD okay. does not appear to be psychoactive, right? Although it does have some...
It does
have some neuromodulatory properties. It helps with anxiety and sleep.
You can
and
tell when the person takes the dose of the one...
Of the CBD. Well,
the two types, they're saying.
Well, but here's the thing. If you add THC, it's the CBD occupies all the cannabinoid receptors. So THC can't get in. So taking THC with cannabinoid, how does that work, Barbara? You can explain.
It opens up your endocannabinoids, you know, and so most hemp-based or cannabis-based CBD, particularly that I deal with, it has less than 3% of THC in it, and that's enough to go in and open up your receptors, and so the CBD can go in there and bind to your endocannabinoid system.
Are you involved? Are you involved in some studies about the concussions and about the dementia right now? Is there ongoing research being done?
The one that I know about is Dr. Sue Sicilies, and she's working with veterans, which is, you know, TBI. But it's the same thing. It's, to me, whether it's pugilistic dementia or CTE or TBI, it's the closed head injury.
Yep.
That's what we're dealing with, and the mood and behaviors that come from that. And so Dr. Sue Sicilies is working with veterans and some NFL players in Colorado. What I see is that this thing is going to take off now, particularly with CBD, because the form bill is going to be signed in the next couple of weeks, and that's basically going to take CBD off the Controlled Substance Act.
Oh, that's good.
And so, yeah.
That's good. So, yeah.
And so Jeff,
wait a minute. And Jeff Sessions is going to enforce
that? No,
he's gone.
He was a big one that it's a gateway drug.
I know. And for full disclosure, you were on the board of Isodiol. Is that right?
Of course.
And that is what? Yeah. That's a cannabis.
It's a CBD cannabis company. We're probably one of the leading CBD companies in the country and in the world.
And in terms of the dosing of CBD to help with cannabis use or even just for pain control, what kind of dosing are we talking about?
With me, I microdose every day. And there's a bunch of deliveries that you can get it. You can get it with a tincture, transdermal patch. We have topicals. We have water. We have coffee. We have teas. My thing is to get the CBD in your body, whatever way you feel is best and works for you, and it will work for you. And what doesn't work is going to excrete out your body anyway.
Well,
the science of microdosing of dosing is not there yet, but that's coming.
Well, let me tell you the reason I asked, because I've been watching this space pretty carefully. It's a little confusing to me. The science isn't quite where I want it to be yet, but I know lots of people in this business, and I think they're legitimate scientists and things, and they're working hard to try to help people. And one guy gave me a 3 milligram sublingual CBD with
I
took it. and he's wait, hold on, it gets better. And he suggested that this was a sort of a microdosing maintenance, health maintenance kind of thing. I didn't feel it. I literally felt nothing from it. Maybe a little.
But you're not going to feel anything, because there's a difference between, and that's what I tell people. You have to take it consistently and let it get inside your body and get in, bind to in the cannabinoid system.
And what would I be
it's
looking
for? It's not like THC. THC, you're going to feel it right away.
And what would I be looking for with the CBD? I'm looking for anti-inflammatory effect. I'm looking for anxiety stabilization. Anxiety.
Exactly. All of that. Anxiety. Homeostasis to me is like playing 10 years in the NFL in the trenches. It's all for the 10 man.
And so,
you know, because I've had 9 major surgeries, but I can still go out and lift and work out every day with my rest and recovery that CBD gives me.
And so I started experimented last night, and people have been advocating for sleep. And so I had a tincture, and I took like 20 milligrams, and it clobbered me. I mean, I was out, and I still felt a little weird this morning. So I've seen data that suggests that some people may convert CBD to THC. And yet that chemistry, the studies that have been borne out show that when you measure people's blood levels of THC, it doesn't show up. So clearly it's not really happening the way they thought it was. My sense was you're probably not creating THC, because I didn't feel high. I just felt sleepy and kind of sedated. Is that an unusual symptom or side effect?
Well, and taking a tincture, we have sleep aids. And so it helps me, because one of the things that you get from, like, you know, banging your head around for 10 to 12 years is most of these guys can't sleep. And so we've come up with a sleep aid that really helps people. But when you're talking about a metabolizing in THC, we have a non-systemic cream that you put on the back of your neck, and it goes into your central nervous system. Mm. And it doesn't get that blood-blood interaction or go through your stomach, where your stomach is, you know, your stomach is
acidic,
an oven, so it can metabolize as THC.
That's right. That's one of the theories. That's one of the theories. Okay. The acidification is what the THC comes from. But
exactly.
Yeah, very interesting. That's very interesting to me. Because the CBD is like the new Bitcoin. It's like it's this thing. It is. It's like this thing. It has all this potential. We just don't fully know what it is yet. And we think we know, but we don't. For sure, Nora. But
we're going to get there.
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 Because, Dr. Drew, when you look at it, like Colorado and state of Oregon went off in 2012. That was only 6 years ago.
Yeah.
That's like, I always say, that's like the Wright brothers taking off at Kitty Hawk.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not even, and we're still cranking up the plane. Wait until we get into the twin propeller and the jet age. Then we'll really see what this plant can do, because we've been medicating with this plant for thousands of years. And we're getting back to that. Everybody's getting back to natural paths and holistic living. And because we've seen the path that opiates and benzodiazepines and all those things can do for society.
No, not good. Not
we're going to lose a generation if we keep going down that path.
That's
we need
sure.
something natural. And I'm definitely advocating for the cannabis hemp plant.
Well, just being a rock and roll musician guy, everybody in my business knows pot is way less destructive than opiates.
Yes.
Somehow America, and or alcohol. Somehow America got convinced that opiates are just nothing. They're just harmless.
It's because it's a doctor
pot
prescribed
is
it.
The devil, or, you know.
It's very weird
how the media message of these two drugs that are so completely different.
Just moral panics around molecules are unfounded, in my humble opinion. We just get into these moral panics about a molecule. It's just a molecule, and humans relate to it in certain ways. It has certain effects. That's it. But back to the CBD. I got to tell you, I had one individual taking like 600 milligrams of CBD appropriately.
For what reason?
It was essentially... I remember the case because this wasn't the part of it that I made note of. I think it was ADHD, if I remember right. But the individual had withdrawal. Oh, I know what it was. This was somebody who'd been on a lot of Adderall and appropriately wanted to get off it, but ended up on a bunch of CBD and had withdrawal from the CBD when she came off it. And that caught my attention. And I thought, wow, what was depression? Looked like cannabis withdrawal. Looked like an opiate, yeah. Like sort of, you know, the benzo
lethargic,
withdrawal kind of thing. No,
depression.
Agitated, irritable, paranoid, yeah. All that stuff. And,
well, is it because of the CBD, the cannabis, or because maybe the person had an addictive personality? You know, because I've never. I don't
America,
know. Can you be addicted to
come
CBD?
On, Marvin, everybody in America has got an addictive personality at
well, no,
this point.
And I wasn't even suggesting she was even addicted to the CBD. I was just suggesting there is – you can have withdrawal syndromes from chemicals that aren't addictive, and you just have withdrawal. And I just noted that she had this thing. And what I came away from it thinking was we shouldn't use those big doses. That's what I came away from it thinking.
But I don't know if Marvin's heard our – so I'm Bob. I believe that 60 to 70% of the American public are addicts. They're addicted
to what? Sugar?
They're
to
addicted
sugar?
to food, to drugs and alcohol, to sex, to money. So,
yep.
So this niche that addicts were confined in, which 5%, 3%, Drew, when we were going to school, 3 to 5% of the public.
10%.
10%.
Yeah.
Right? It's 70% of the population. Just go to Disneyland.
No, I can believe that. I can believe that. You know, we all have our deal, you know. And the thing is that being in this industry, and I haven't been in it that long, only 4 years, I've seen what it can do and help people and change their lives, you know. And I think I know for a fact it's less harmful than the opiates and
that's all you
alcohol
need to say,
and tobacco.
Really. It is less harmful than opiates, Drew. If it can replace opiates, we're miles ahead of where we were.
Yeah. We're miles ahead.
Right?
We're miles ahead.
Absolutely. No quarrel from me. My thing is just I have – because my responsibility is to speak from what we know, not what I think.
Right.
You know, I mean? Those are two different things.
But what about what you experience?
And what I experience is a different thing too. Right, I'm experimenting on myself.
I know
case of one.
And I'm wondering if this is going to be on TMZ.
No, and I feel confident, maybe, and I feel confident doing that because I've seen so many great reports on what's going on here. I know I feel confident it's going to be safe.
They have a plenty of like cannabis practitioners out there. Maybe you ought to get one of those, and they can write a program or a script up for you because I know there's some wonderful nurses and doctors that are. Been working with this plant for, you know, for decades, and they could probably give you some guidance more than being a guinea pig on yourself.
That's how he does it all the time.
Yeah,
talking about
I'm super responsive to melatonin, for instance, for sleep.
Yeah.
And this to me felt about like melatonin. It just did about the same thing for me. And
I woke up in the morning and there was CBD drops by my bed. And I was like, are you trying to tell me something? Like,
no, I split it with you. I can't put some in my bathroom.
I don't know what I would need it for. Like, what would you?
I don't know. I think.
To calm down?
Do I need to calm down? I can barely stay awake after 2 p.m.
Well,
no, I do. I mean, maybe inflammation or.
Yeah, it's around. It's safe. It's highly used. We don't fully know. We're not going to use it chronically, you and I. It's just, you know, who knows? We don't know yet.
I mean, the dog needs it more.
I think you should use it. I use it every day because you have an endocannabinoid system in your body. And most of the people are endocannabinoid deficient. So this is something that you got to figure out what works for you.
Well, you have to be careful. You know? I mean, we have many endogenous receptor systems. We have an endogenous opioid system, and that doesn't mean we have a deficiency of opiates. You know, we have an endogenous GABA system, which is the benzodiazepine receptor. But
what
we shouldn't be taking
cannabinoid? Because I know what activates the opioid. If I get in a car accident and break my leg, endorphin is released, correct? So that system serves a purpose.
Endocannabinoid is neuroregulatory, neuromodulating. Primarily. So it's modulating. No.
Oh.
Regulation. Neuroregulation. And it probably has different mechanisms in different parts of the brain. But it's a part of the brain. It's closer to something like Neurontin. That, again, the GABA system.
Neurontin
sort of,
works for me.
GABA is sort of neuroregulatory also.
Right.
But this seems to be special. It seems to be a very interesting special
Maybe
system.
Maybe Dr. Flores has some input on this.
We're going to get to that.
Yeah.
I promise. Marvin, one last thing before I let you go. You had neuroprotective properties. Tell us what your point is there.
Well, I'm only following the NIH, who holds a patent on it, patent 663-0507, that says it's an antioxidant neuroprotectant for the brain. in relationships to concussions. And CBD seems to work in the three areas that when you get, you know, head trauma, your neurons, molecules, and it can and swelling of the brain. Other things work, but they don't attack all three. Dr. Raphael Mashulam, who was the father of cannabis research, has also said that it's a neuroprotectant. And if you get a concussion within 20 minutes or 30 minutes and you get a massive amount of CBD, it can mitigate the symptoms of the concussion. So my thing is, the last thing is...
science that says that?
Dr. Raphael Mashulam.
In circular, what do they call it? A position paper by the NIH that has three different categories. One is shows strong evidence, might have some evidence, nothing, does not show evidence in terms of the clinical utility it's an encircular. It's a big document, and this, you know, it's for seizures. It's, you know, it the area of that we're talking about is still highly speculative, but there's some data coming in, and that's what they need to study. Point is, it should have been studied 100 years ago.
A federal prohibition, but that's going to come off, and we're going to see what they can do.
Yep,
but
that's
encouraged.
Right.
I'm definitely encouraged.
I am too. And I feel very strongly that you know, when we start seeing clearly what's going on, the public will be ahead of the science. That's what's going to happen. And Marvin, I'm going to let you go.
Thank you so much.
Some time with us. Want to give us the website again where they can find out more about the products?
Isodal.com or isosport.com. And you can find out, you know, all the products that we have. We have a medical line, we have a fitness line, and we have a lifestyle and recovery line that's
can you spell that?
We're doing good.
I got it. It's ISODIOL. Also, you can follow Marvin on Twitter.
It's on his T-shirt right
Twitter,
there.
I know. Twitter and Instagram, MWASH52. All right, Marvin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so
much. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, buddy. We will take a little bit of break, and when we come back, we're going to bring Dr. Jeff Flores in here. He is a dentist. He repaired Bob's mouth. We're going to go through all that. We're going to give his thoughts on CBD and pain management when we return. Well, if you're dealing with addiction, finding treatment is difficult. It's hard to navigate what's out there. The truth is, every patient's needs are different and constantly evolving. I've had the pleasure of vetting True Recovery in Orange County. They realized, of course, that effective care can't be one size fits all because they're reputable and they care about their patients. So, of course, they're going to be highly individualized. They have developed a comprehensive range of treatments that can address all the facets of drug and alcohol addiction. And True Recovery's master-level clinicians maintain small caseloads, allowing them to truly personalize their care and get involved on a connected level, which is what the key to recovery is. They offer individualized treatment plans from residential to outpatient, and again, always with the holistic approach and focus on accountability. As patients become ready, True Recovery offers assistance with life and coping skills, school and vocational coordination, as well as community reintegration support. We hear this all the time where people get recovery but then don't know how to live. They don't know how to get out into the world. Well, True Recovery helps with that. I've spoken with True Recovery's medical director and was impressed with their range of therapeutic modalities and psychiatric services. This experienced team is well equipped to manage patients at all levels. To request information on how True Recovery can provide you with your personalized care or for that of one of your family members, go to drdrew.com/true, T-R-U-E. That is drdrew.com/true, T-R-U-E. Well, it's hard to believe a year has passed since one of the worst cold and flu seasons on record, but here we are again. So if you happen to catch a bug, the one thing every doctor will tell you is stay hydrated. Proper hydration eases a lot of the symptoms of many of these viral illnesses, and sports drinks, water alone, is not the issue. You need to be aggressive. You need something like Hydrolyte, full fluid replacement. Hydrolyte is this oral rehydration product you've heard me talking about. It's better than anything out there. It delivers the right balance of sodium, glucose, and water, providing up to four times the electrolytes sports drinks can offer, all with 75% less sugar. So think about that. It's like taking an IV by mouth. But my favorite thing is the convenience. I'm always on the run, so I use the effervescent tablets. You just drop them in a water bottle or even a glass of water. I literally never leave home without them. No one in my family does, for that matter. And because Hydrolyte is appropriate for all ages, it's perfect for the little snowman amongst you when they come home from the school, perhaps sniffling. Hydrolyte comes in great flavors, orange, berry, and lemonade, available in a pre-mixed drink, a powder, or, like I said, those fizzy tablets. I love those. They go everywhere. Come in a little tube. Every package includes easy-to-follow dosing instructions. Order your supply today at hydrolyte.com/drdrew. For a limited time, you can save 30%. We use the code at checkout, drdrew18. That's Dr. Drew 18. So, either click through on our banner at drdrew.com or go to hydrolite.com/drdrew and then use that code drdrew18. And we are back. So, Dr. Flores, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping Bob.
He's a miracle worker right here.
He is more than enthusiastic about your care.
It's unbelievable.
What'd you do for him?
Well,
So I met Bob
at Disneyland.
What?
I walked by him on the way to Toontown.
And you can see it, my fucked up
And they're walking
teeth.
In, right? And that's exactly what you said to me. Ah, my teeth are all messed up. And then I introduced myself, and I'm so grateful for everything you do, and you help so many people, so would you please come and, you know.
I was like, nah, come on now.
Yeah, and then eventually he came in, and the major issue was just getting over that barrier to actually come into the office.
What Drew likes to call shame.
Right, so a lot, particularly addicts. And
all addicts.
Yeah, and also people that many mental health conditions that have them not properly caring for themselves or maybe having conditions of the mouth that have altered the flora in there.
And that's it.
And then they get ashamed of it, and then they don't want to hear a dentist say, why didn't you come to me sooner, or why didn't you brush,
well,
or how'd
also,
you get like this?
Big that's fear it. Of opioids. If you're a sober junkie, can't go to a dentist.
I've had so many dentists take my patients down, so many.
Right,
and it's just, why didn't you take care of yourself? And we're in this position where we can take the patient several different directions, but in our eagerness to get people on the right path, we lose that sometimes.
Yeah.
So I've made it a point always to bridge that gap to taking them down the positive route, because I'm not perfect either. Mm. You know, there'll be days where it's like, man, I'm so tired. I'll brush tomorrow. You know, and it's not the right thing to do, but then, you know, my wife will elbow me and I'll go and brush. But it's such a small thing that when you combine it with the opioid habit and the transformation of the flora in your mouth and the absence of the salivary excretion coming through, it completely changes everything.
Yeah.
So to have that in a patient who is coming out of that and then us stand as a barrier, I'm definitely not going down that way.
And so Bob had what going on in his mouth other than the usual?
So Bob had...
no bone.
Yeah, the bone had basically dissipated. It had receded because of just neglect.
Is it infectious? Neglect. Is it caries? Is it?
It was, let's see. So he had, on those two teeth, he had two root canals. And then
previously,
and caps that and were then, 10-15 years old,
oh, and you boy. Could see where the margins were, where the crown ends. So there were these black lines there.
Uh-oh.
So the gum pulled up, and then it left these gaps in between the teeth. Eventually, when you remove the blood supply and the nerve supply out of a tooth, it fuses to the bone, and there's nothing going in and out of the tooth to provide minerals to the tooth, so it snapped, and that's what happened to Bob.
Right.
So the phone call I got, he's like, "Hey Jeff, this is Bob,
and I got one problem here.
I need you now because my tooth is falling out of my head
in the front. I can always
right
have it falling out in the back. So, it's totally fine."
So right away it was this. Oh, let's come on in. Let's check it out. And I guess he had spoken to a dentist friends of his, and they wanted to do some pretty major work, but we ended up doing something that was very, very...
Dentures. He's talking about major work. They were talking about giving me dentures.
So pull everything out and put pegs in.
At 57 years old,
well,
they have
dentures. But they'd put, though, implants, though, right?
So you would put implants, and then you would snap a denture.
Yeah.
Bob had enough nice vital tooth structure where we didn't have to do that. So
he's so vain. He's like, dentures.
And so he came and he's like, "You're going to tell me I'm
like
going to pull out all my teeth."
My grandma had dentures.
Yeah. it's not the vanity, Susan.
My mom had them.
It's the aging part. That's what
they're in a cup next to your bed. I can't
pop
have
in,
that.
Or the dog gets them and puts them in his mouth.
Nobody wants dentures.
So how'd you restore that bone?
So then what we ended up doing was, there's a procedure that I do called PRF. It's platelet-rich fibrin. And I'll tell you, in Bob's case, it was difficult to draw his blood
because
there were no veins. So I'm like, all right, we're going to
I had platelet-rich plasma injected here yesterday at
you
her
did?
Behest.
Neck.
Yeah, my neck.
Your chicken neck.
Yeah. She goes, "You got to go get the plasma."
So the way we differ with PRP is that there's no coagulants in PRF. We're actually just drawing the blood and right getting it into the centrifuge. And we spin it, and then it creates these different layers of tissue. gook. Gook. Of this
plasma.
Gook.
Plasma.
Yeah. So then we pull out the gel fibrin matrix, and then we mix it up with some bone. And that's how we were able to rebuild that area that was missing. So
you're talking about like how much? A quarter inch of bone here in my front of my whole almost, front.
Well,
a
actually,
quarter inch, yeah. Drew, of bone he made happen.
Hold on, you put the
in my mouth with no pain.
You put the you put the fibrin in with what?
So what you do is you immediately pull it. You get it in the centrifuge.
Yeah.
And then you have about 90 seconds to get the centrifuge going.
Yeah.
You pull it out in 3 minutes, and then you pull out the liquid PRF.
The fibrin.
And it's in liquid form. And then you have the other tubes spinning. Those are going to become the gel membranes. With the liquid, you actually get some bone graft, and you mix it with the gel as well as the liquid.
But you mean pieces of his bone?
Yeah.
No, these were bone. Yeah, these were allografts. So, right, so it was either sterilized cadaver.
I see. Yeah. So it's
you didn't tell me I had somebody else's dead body up in me.
No, you have pig.
You would rather have pig in your mouth.
I don't mind having pig bone
in
there.
So the porcine graft.
See, we're freaking people out now. I'm telling you, it was painless.
Hang on.
It was reassuring.
I know that.
And it was a miracle.
Fibrin stimulates osteoblast production or something?
Correct. So what I did was I made two different grafts of sticky bone. The outer graft is of xenograft, meaning that when your body processes bone, it actually goes in and it replaces it itself. You just don't have that bone from a foreign material stuck there forever. Xenograft is interesting because if there's a major defect, you can actually form it up and it'll stay there because the body doesn't know what to do with it.
Mm.
But it's
xeno
not,
stands for what?
Foreign, like a
it's just a
animal.
It's another.
It
animal.
Was porcine.
Porcine. Okay.
Yeah,
porcine.
But. With bovine and then also with your human graft, cadaver, that gets replaced.
Right.
So what we did was is his whole anterior plate was missing because of that loose
How
tooth.
How crazy is that? See, that's very rare that Drew goes, oof. Yeah. That means bad, bad, bad.
So what we did was we flapped it slightly. It wasn't a full flap where I exposed bone. And then I placed his implants and covered it. And then
again, the implants, it's a bone fibrin matrix that you put in there.
Correct.
Okay. And how do you get the bone pulverized?
So there's two methods I do. I can get my bone graft from a bank, which it comes purified and sterilized.
And it's just osteoblast. Then.
Correct.
So it's just bone forming cells.
All I know is you could take a basket case junkie's mouth and turn it into a normal. I haven't had teeth like this since I was 23.
And once you got some bone going, would you put a cap in there?
No. So what I did was initially I placed the implants.
Implants.
And then what I did was I flapped it. I needed the guidance of the tissue being intact. So I placed the implants and then I flapped it back.
This all sounds painful for people.
Then I found
it's not
out.
Painful at all.
Well, it's pretty substantial tissue movement. And
it's
the fact,
oral surgery.
And right, and the fact that it didn't hurt is impressive. I like that.
So we made sure he was nice and numb. I have different methods of delivery.
But not unconscious. So,
yeah. And I remember in your podcast, you were all
worried about that.
Worried about going on propofol because I'm just going to get it all done.
Because it makes you drug crave. I have two friends that went out over.
So that was Bob's major issue.
It's all junkies' major issue about the dentist. Yeah.
What do you use normally to sedate folks?
I'm just using lidocaine.
Oh, you don't put them
I did
out.
Local, absolutely.
So, do you ever bring anybody
you
in?
Said
do
you, could, you said
so
you
what,
could put me out if I freaked out.
Well, what we would have done was
nitrous.
Done nitrous.
Okay.
Yeah, did and it has a nice effect.
You would have needed a lot of nitrous on me. And trust me, I'm sending Steve-O to you. You're going to need a whole airplane full of nitrous.
These teeth look good.
Right?
It's all
temporaries.
It's not. Huh?
Stevo's all temporaries?
No,
Stevo's are the thing, the click
they're,
up.
Oh, they're dentures.
Well, don't say that on podcast.
They look great.
So what we did was we used a product that is so that surgery was completed and I got him in my temporary that I made for him. And then as the weeks had gone by, I noticed the tissue was starting to form so nicely around this area, meaning that it was supported. So that whole defect was being repaired. Took some x-rays, and there was still the defect initially. A couple weeks later, it was gone.
Filled in.
Yeah.
And thank God you had your liver disease treated because that would have impaired all this healing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So this is a good sign for your overall health. that your body is able to do all
And he
this.
Checked me for cancer. I'm great about that because I told you I have two friends that passed
up
away.
Up here, though, not, you know, not.
Yeah, just head and neck, dude. Just head
I'm
neck.
Good for any cancer check for a year.
It makes me curious. Do you ever see physicians? Do you ever see doctors? You're so freaked out about seeing a dentist.
Yes. Okay, no, good. Well, dentist is...
We're in your face.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
We're
it's
at
really
the same level of you. Know,
but
the
here's let's totally be honest.
Except they're He's nice also... and knock you out. You know, we have to keep you away.
But it's access. It's cost. You know, they've changed dentistry in the time that I've been afraid of it, and the public needs to know about that.
Well, certainly the addict population needs to know about it because you spent many years avoiding it. Let's talk about pain. Do you use CBD? We were talking about that earlier.
So I had some patients in my past practices that raved about it.
About it for pain.
So they were also past opioid users, and they couldn't take anything.
Right.
And then that was always the recommendation for
they
pain.
Use CBD for dental pain. Interesting.
Yeah. So
God, this CBD is so interesting. I don't know what we're going to learn about it. It's almost I worry something there's going to be some big downside. It's almost too good to be true. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm worrying about it, but. I told you, I tried it myself to see.
I was my jaw was on the floor.
So to get back with Bob, yeah. Bob was so concerned about I'm going to have dental pain because one of his best friends, you know, had implants and that sent him back to relapse. Mm-hmm. So we didn't do any opioids at all. Nothing. It was just straight.
So whatever you're going to do to me, it has to be without the consideration of opiates. And it worked.
And were you in pain?
Never.
So what we did was it was a combination of I have a laser in my office, and we do a procedure called photobiomodulation. Mm. When you run this laser over the tissue, it speeds healing, and it also reduces pain simply because you are speeding up activity into the area.
How crazy is that, dude?
You are.
I had my whole jaw rebuilt and – metal screwed into my head, and it didn't hurt. That's what I want people to know.
I think you've said that a couple of times now. So.
I mean, I am saying because I can't believe it.
That's the next thing you're going to get all psyched about getting frequent dental work.
Drew's been working around me for 20
like
years.
Like that guy in a Little Shop of Horrors?
Yeah.
You know when Bill Murray. You know when you work around somebody and you never look at them? Mm-hmm. Right? That's how me and Drew are. He didn't notice. Like, my teeth were – there was a quarter-inch gap above
Never
my teeth.
Never noticed.
So Bob had this bridge that was bonded to to his canines, and it had just delaminated and had taken up so much stain.
You never even
but
look at me.
Yeah, but
look
you're
Look at
smile.
Me now with my smile.
Look at you. It looks great and natural.
Right?
I noticed you had a defect over there. You still have a defect.
Yeah, it's so still there. We're
going to go stepwise. Yeah. But
there's not enough
test.
Bone there. You said there's not enough bone over
so
here.
So we're probably going to do bridges to fill that area.
How come not go after the same thing you did?
Because when you have lack of bone,
yeah.
to put bone there is really, really invasive. So
up there.
His sinus is about 4 millimeters right above the bone, the crest of the bone. Mm-hmm. To build that back up is really, really invasive. You have to flap it, put a titanium mesh down, and I don't know if you're going to sign up for that.
Okay.
Because that's really, really
painful.
You
have to go up in here to
Absolutely.
Get it through there?
It can be. And
it's real surgery.
And then what ends up happening is does it take, does it not? So if we're able
and
to...
And if you pierce, my friend Paul, they pierced the navel cavity.
Oh, you're
oh,
in trouble.
Oh, my God.
It's a disaster.
I saw him.
So
that
that's
happened.
Another thing PRF helps with. Yeah. So when we're doing oral surgery or anything, that's why PRF is huge, and I'm so interested in it. It takes the cells instead of these protective and healing cells that have to circulate all throughout your body to reach an area of injury. You're already sticking them there.
Well, then you said platelet-rich fibrin.
Yes.
And so is that also a leukocyte?
It's
layer?
A leukocyte.
Yeah,
yes.
He showed
Absolutely.
Me.
Exactly.
It's all
well,
the
you
light.
Said fibrin. That fibrin's a certain.
So it's a fibrin matrix, and it has a concentration of leukocytes
within it.
Yeah.
So it's the leukocyte.
You can see. Yeah. Are you talking about what I refer to as a stem cell?
Do you think
the clear
so
part on the top of the blood?
It's not a stem cell.
Not stem
cells. Placement.
Yeah.
That what I was
the
talking
clear
about.
Clear stuff. You showed it to me.
But, yeah.
The
that,
clear
that
stuff on
gem.
Top of the blood. The yellow stuff.
But when you do platelet-rich plasma and fibrin matrix and even stem cells. Mm-hmm. I've been looking at that area pretty carefully, but so much of what it seems to be doing is just modulating inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're suggesting that it's also stimulating osteoblast activity.
So in a certain amount of measurement, in a certain measurement of defect. If it's about 1 millimeter to 1.5,
it'll do that.
What PRF does is with the leukocytes is it stimulates the vascularity, the blood flow to come into that area.
Is that the cytokines being released by
Absolutely,
the way?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so all this stuff, those PRP or plasma or fibrin or stem cells. Stem cells don't magically go to some place and become new cells. Mm-hmm. They just cruise around and release chemical factors that affect inflammation and certain healing processes.
But if you
Does
put it
sense?
Right in
so
the
where,
spot.
So where we got into you know? our stem cell conversation is we actually collect teeth in our office that go to a tooth bank, and then they save those for later use. And it is very similar to the cord banking.
Yeah,
and
it's your
second round where you can offer this service to a parent that if your child ever in the future has any issues with type 1 diabetes or cancer or some other malady, they will have this backup of cells that you can convert to certain protective cells to bond
teeth?
With that.
The extracted teeth.
So they usually recommend you extract them in pairs. With baby teeth, it's such a small amount of material. They can replicate it, but if you take them in pairs, because you know they're going to be loose anyways. Mm-hmm. But they're right at that stage.
Are you doing it with your own kids?
I will.
Ah!
Yeah, I will. Absolutely. Where this comes into play is kids that are coming in for orthodontic extractions. They usually extract anywhere from two premolars to four. Mm. You send those in, and you have a
lot.
You know, a ton of that,
is there,
that material.
Is it in place of cord blood?
It's the younger you get at the blood, the more potential the cells have in order to convert to different lines. That's that pluripotent and multipotent characteristic of blood, where if you give it the right signals, it'll become that type of tissue. So younger blood, younger cells can become more items. When they come in at our stage where we're taking the teeth, you still can do stuff with those cells.
But is it, if somebody's given cord blood or stored cord blood, do you also need to do the teeth? Or is it you've already
No,
done
this
your
is
job?
Something completely separate.
But I mean,
this is your second round.
It's separate, but it's only if you miss the cord blood, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You could do
yeah.
it. Yeah.
You could do it instead
it's
of
just
the cord.
A,
but
it's
here's
like
another,
just another way of extra doing
bank.
It. No, yeah.
but,
extra banking.
But there's another streamline thing since I'm the, you know, the typical American around here. I've done the cord blood for Elvis.
Yeah.
I literally don't know how I would even get it. I mean, I get the emails. I don't know where it is. I don't know what forms you have to fill out. I don't know how to get it to whatever doctor it needs to get to. If it's your primary dentist and they have you pull them and they're stored there, I know
so
that
I'd go to you.
So here's
the thing is
right
now,
right now
there's not companies jumping up and saying, we're doing this. You know, you had mentioned about your back and possible therapy there. It's still in its early
it.
Stages.
I've done it.
Yeah.
The
stem cell thing.
Did you do it? Did you do it? No. We were going to set you up to do it.
My shoulder is what I want done.
Right.
Okay. You're also part of Smile Mobile, Healthy Smiles for Kids.
Yeah, so great. Right out of dental school, what am I going to do with my life? So,
well, you didn't even talk about your snowboarding career.
Yeah,
whatever.
I did.
Wow.
I did a couple
was,
of things. So.
Was, this is second act.
Crazy.
By the way.
Crazy.
I was going to be an Olympian.
He didn't even tell me that. Yeah. He tells Chrissy that. But go ahead.
So, fantastic. I started snowboarding when I was a junior in high school.
Where were you?
I was here, local mountains in Big Bear.
And were you in San Gabriel Valley, or where'd you grow up?
No, I grew up in South Orange County. Yeah. I was in San Juan Capistrano. So then, what ended up happening was. As soon as I graduated high school, I moved up to Big Bear, and I became an instructor, and then that was how I was going to, you know, learn how to learn how to perform at the level that I wanted to. So then I started competing that year, and first year I got to nationals. Second year, I won it, and then the third year was like it took off. So then I started traveling around the country with several teams, and then this is where I had my intro into partying and
right,
you know, and
Thelonious Monk, a bicycle thief.
So they, I mean, it's
rock
it's,
and
it's
roll,
huge. I mean, and if you look at the
is it Thelonious
the
Monster stuff, you listen to or bicycle thief?
It was Thelonious Monster.
Thelonious Monster.
Yeah. So then what ended up happening?
I don't know any snowboarders that don't smoke a lot of pot,
right? So then, among other things, and that was it. Yeah. I mean, I lost a couple friends to it.
Yeah.
Very very close people to me. So then what ended up happening was. I got burned out. It was around 1999, 2000, and I was done.
Did you make it to the Olympics?
I didn't. So what we were doing was we were competing in the Grand Prix events. Mm-hmm. So there was this big war between the Fédération Internationale du Ski because they wanted snowboarding to be a discipline of skiing. Mm. We had a problem with that as riders because we, you know, early on, we were so against skiing.
Yeah.
But then eventually we formed our own union, but then we got into the Olympics and we had to shake hands with them. But most of the people that I had on my teams all went to the Olympics. Mm. And a couple good friends of mine are gold medalists. Mm. So it's neat to watch them. The ones that stayed in and didn't do anything, they went on and
what made you go to dental school?
So the whole thing was, is when I was done snowboarding, my brother had this idea of making me a carpenter because he was a carpenter.
And how old were you?
I was 25. Hmm. Yeah.
It's pretty bold to go to professional school at the late 20s.
Yeah.
I like that.
And I didn't get to dental school till I was 30. Hmm. So then,
and to be fair, how old are you now?
43. 44.
In a way, that's sort of the millennial thing. It's a way he was sort of a harbinger of what was to come in the next generation.
You're a
doing
Gen
everything
Xer.
Later.
You're a Gen Xer.
Yeah.
I am.
Right. But they were doing – it's just parts of them were doing the same stuff that the millennials end up doing full time.
Yeah, but I doubt there's going to be many millennials that after a successful snowboarding career are going to go, I think I'm going to go start on the ground floor becoming a dentist. But I just don't think millennials have it in them.
I'm seeing stuff.
I'm not
like,
generalizing. I'm just saying stuff for the most part.
For the most part, that's probably true, but I'm seeing stuff like that happening. Maybe
in the younger generation. I'm telling you, 18, right, 19, okay. We'll see. But So
right now, our big – I mean, we have three little daughters, 18 months, 5, and then 7-year-old.
Oh, my goodness.
And we're trying to
– No wonder you were at Disneyland.
To motivate them. Motivate them to, like, have this drive to do something.
Grit.
His wife's a pediatrician, by the way.
Got it.
Like, two – two Gen X motivational things. How do they not fuck up their children?
Right.
So we're both stressing on each other.
Yeah.
How to get them to turn out right. So
I get it.
So it's neat.
It's grit. That's the thing that the millennials miss.
And I think that's what's lacking.
Yeah.
So we're really trying to push our daughters. I mean,
I think one way to do it, by the way.
Yeah.
And I'm totally convinced of this is academia. Because academia will always kick their ass.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If you really push the academics, even if you're not finding them getting enough grit in other aspects of their life, academics is always there to do that.
So here's what we did is my wife is Chinese. And when she was growing up, the big thing for Chinese and Asian families and even other cultures was to do Saturday school. To maintain that language every week, and they hated it.
My kids went to school. Some schools that were doing that.
Yeah, so her
I'm not sure that was
her
good.
Cantonese was kind of broken, but she's able to get by. So we found several schools that are Chinese immersion schools, and they're hardcore. They're 60% Chinese.
But are they doing just language stuff? Or are they doing math?
It's math.
Yeah, that's the thing that used to drive the kids. Yeah. It was the math.
So they're learning how to actually do math in different. Different ways.
Yeah.
So you got out of dental school, and then you have this genuine nature.
Yeah. So to make a long story even longer.
You did the truck, right? Truck out into disimpoverished areas.
Yep. So it was a mobile unit, and we had two high tech chairs set up in house or in the mobile, and then we would drive to a school in Santa Ana, and then we would screen about 200 to 300 kids. Fast as possible on one day with several dentists, and then we would come back in the next couple of weeks and target those children, not target them, but take care of those children that had dental problems.
Wow.
And it was such a neat thing for me to see. I wanted to be a pediatric dentist, and I went through the pipeline, and I got all my letters of recommendation, and I was going to open an office with my wife because she's a
You're going to love this part.
Right? Yeah.
She just said, too litigious, right?
Yeah, she's like, I'm not doing that. I don't want to open.
She
my
just
want
a hospital job where the hospital.
Oh, she's a hospitalist.
Like you know.
Yeah. So
she's a practical person.
So now she's the chair of pediatrics for two different
hospitals,
medical groups.
Medical groups.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah. So it's been good. So then.
So Jeff's dream didn't come true, but he still moved forward in life, anyways. Right?
Little did he know he'd be repairing Bob's mouth.
And that was it. So then all of this was like during Love Lines and in the 90s, and then Celebrity Rehab came along, and I'm like, hey, that's Bob Forrest. So I ran in him at Disneyland, fast forward.
It's amazing.
On the way to Toontown? Did I get that right?
Yeah, so here's what happened was he's on his way to Toontown, and I look at my wife, and I'm like, hey, that's Bob Forrest. And she's like, oh, that's nice. And we just kept walking. We made our way all the way to the front gate of Disneyland, and I look at her, and I'm like, I got to go back and talk to this guy.
Wow.
So she's like, here, take your business card. So then I ran back all the way, you know, hundreds of thousands of people at Disneyland.
Oh, my
and
God.
I found him outside of Minnie Mouse's house.
Oh, my God. How crazy.
So and they cool. were about to go in. So
That's my favorite part of the story.
Yeah.
Because that I'm going to do this business is something I dig. You know what I mean? I'm gonna find that guy. Screw it. I don't want to miss this opportunity. I'm going to go make see
and
what
it was just a basic thank you, you know, because I've followed your careers very closely, you know, on TV and on the radio. And it's like, wow, this is if I become, you know, a quarter of what these people are doing for the population, it's like, I will be so happy.
Oh,
so I came up and I thanked him and. Thank it was you. A really neat connection. He's like, wow, thank you. And he was so gracious. It was so awesome.
He's been raving ever since. And then this whole
when
issue.
When you live for 15 years scared of, that you're going to have dentures.
This is the other piece. Not scared of denture, but afraid to see a professional because of the shame and the guilt.
Why
or whatever
do you say
it is.
Shame? Because I want to know what
because
that
I,
means.
What I keep running into is people, they like don't want to don't look at my mom. I'm ashamed of what's happened
they
here.
They get used to not smiling years.
I didn't want you to, particularly I don't want to open it for a dentist so you can look at my teeth. Oh, it's a mess. I know it's a mess. Please don't tell me it's a mess. You know, that kind of, that's shame.
Right.
That's shame. I should have taken care of this. I don't want to hear that I should have. I know it. They it's a deeply
so
avoidant
how do we,
kind of.
How do we attack that?
I think today hearing the dentist talk about it and being like, no, this is what I do. I want to do this. I want to help you. I can help you. That's the other thing. I don't think they have faith that anything can be done.
Mm-hmm.
I think they feel like it's just too late. I just screwed it up and I don't want to hear about it.
And I think it's just.
Well, twofold. And he's letting me make payments and it's gracious.
Well, that's expenses
and,
the other piece.
And if it's the fear of the dentist, it's also the cost that you can't imagine.
The cost access.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I've had practical people say, well, you get a new car every 5 years and you pay for $30,000 for that. Why wouldn't you want a mouth that you use every day?
Yeah.
You know, friends of mine.
Because you really take it for granted. If it doesn't hurt, why is it a big deal? Yeah. And that's when I see people coming in is when it's too late.
I was going to say,
the phone call you made.
Yeah, they also don't know where it's going,
how
bad it can get, and what that too late spot is.
Mm-hmm.
When is it too late? So.
Well, so anybody out there, I know there's a lot of junkies listening to this podcast. Don't be scared of the dentist anymore. Go to Rancho Dentistry.
All right, guys.
Rancho Dental Studio.
Dental Studio.
Which is where?
It's in Mission Viejo.
Mission Viejo.
Let's put it up on This Life thing, Drew.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Right?
Nate's got it.
All
right, gentlemen, we've got to wrap this thing up. Yes? That's about right, Nate? Yes, we're about there. Jeff, thank you so much
thank
for helping
for
Bob and being a part
I
of this.
Appreciate it.
Really
thank
appreciate
you so much.
You being
You're the
here.
Best.
And really, it's funny how you change somebody's life.
With the simplest thing.
Just
well,
a smile.
And to be
so
fair,
great.
It's him caring enough to go back and say thank you. It's really the moment of change right there. Right? That's the magic of stuff like that is really what's fascinating. So.
It is.
All right, guys.
Here
thank
we
you.
Are.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you next time.
All right. See you later, you guys.
All right. That's about it for this episode of This Life. Check us out at KBC, being Lawrence Avon, 790 Midday Live Talk Radio, Monday to Friday. You can also tune in every day live via the magic of the internet at kbc.com. If you miss it, we've made it simple for you to find all the shows at drdrew.com, the Adam and Dr. Drew podcast, the Sing One I Do By Myself, Dr. Drew podcast, This Life, of course, with Bob, Swole Patrol, Mike Cantho, with his new health and fitness podcast. You can find us on Twitter at This Life Podcast, at Dr. Drew, Dairy W, at Rehab Bob Forrest, and of course, our lovely producer at First Lady of Love. I think I know who that is. If you love this show, please subscribe and tell a friend. We appreciate it when you do. We'd love to hear your feedback as well. Send us a message. Join the email list at drdrew.com, drdrew.com/contact. You'll also get a weekly email from us on that. While you're at it, at doctor.com, please support our sponsors by clicking through the banners. We only advertise products that I can get behind. So thank you for supporting them, those that support us. And thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.